Well, thank you, gentlemen. I've had my fill of your stories, and now I will bid you good night.
Come, come, Mr. Green. We must insist that you stay.
No, no, no. If you don't want my membership, you shan't have my ears either. Adieu.
Oh, dear me.
Yes? What is it, Felch?
A Mr. Sturdy to see you, sirs.
Good evening, gentlemen. May I speak with the chairman?
Well, there's no chairman here.
But this is the mausoleum club.
It's a mausoleum.
But I wish to become a member.
Well, unless you're a liar or a fool, you may keep on wishing. But would you care to share my cab?
But come in, Mr. Sturdy. Would I be right in thinking you have an interesting story to relate?
What?
Yes, Mr. Sturdy.
Have a drink.
Have a drink? What? Thank you. Perhaps you could tell us how you came by that curious red mark on your neck.
Well, thereby hangs the tale.
Tales from the Mausoleum Club, written by Ian Brown and James Hendry, starring Timothy Spall, Rosalind Ayres, Nicholas Clay, Oliver Cotton, Royce Mills, Jonathan Kidd, Michael Ripper, Michael Fenton Stevens, and Nick Revel. Episode 6, Jess of the Bourneville's.
My name is Thomas Sturday. I come from a manufacturing family in the Midlands, of which you may have heard. Sturdy's Gentleman's Requisites. Slogan, look before you jump. On the death of my father, his estate was ordered according to tradition. The first son inherited the business. The second son took a commission in the guards. And the third son took up the cloth. The fourth son, as you know, must get on as best as he can.
So what did you decide to do?
Oh, the fifth son.
Oh, I say, what rotten luck.
Ha! Imagine the plot of the 11th. You see, it was my father's policy to patronise the company's products. Anyhow, I decided that my future lay in agriculture, my interest having been excited by the reading of some rather splendid novels about country folk in the southwest of England.
Yes?
I'd like a third-class single ticket to Casterbridge, please.
Where?
Casterbridge? It's a county town of Wessex.
Eh?
Yes. First of after Shirt and Abbott.
Never heard of it.
Oh, but surely, have a look on the map. It's on page 4 of my book here. Look at it. Casterbridge, eh?
Oh, aye. Looks like it's near Dorchester.
Well, I suppose I'd left it there.
Right, well, there we are. 2 3/4.
I beg your pardon?
Unavoidable increases, sir.
Oh, very well. Can I claim a reduction with this Wright's Coal Tar South coupon? As I approached Dorchester, the auguries of eventide became manifest. The countryside was already embrowning itself moment by moment. The obscurity of the heavens met the dark vegetation of the earth at the blood-red horizon, and I was gasping for a pint. So, on my arrival, I went direct to a public house called the Creaking Gibbet, a name I resolved to remember in case it was a clever foreshadowing of something that was to happen later on.
Evening, Dorrit. Evening, sir.
Good evening, mate.
And, what's your pleasure, Mr. Beach?
Point of Natsby, please.
A point of what?
Natsby, stranger. It's our local beer.
Ah, barmaid. Another point of Natsby, please.
Oh, that's very civil of you, sir.
Eh?
Are you not having one yourself?
2 points, barmaid.
Surely, sir.
Cheers.
Oh.
You'll be looking for lodgings, I'll be bound.
Oh, how would you know that?
You put your suitcase down on my dog.
Oh, pardon me.
No, it's no matter, sir. He's well trained in obedience.
Ah.
Yes, he'll make a rare sheepy dog, that one.
Oh, you are a shepherd, then.
Who are, and I've been since, last week.
Oh?
Yes, I used to have a turnip farm, but, well, I was getting a bit, what's the word,
restricted. Really? Times are changing, Mr.
Beach, sir. Azriel Beach. Anyway, you'll find good lodgings 2 miles out on the Weymouth Road. Mr. and Mrs. Maddie. Down, Grinder!
Are the surroundings agreeable?
Oh, some would say so, sir. Their orphan niece, Jess Bourneville, lives there also. All the young men of the town pay her compliments.
Ah, a lady rich in beauty, eh?
No, just money. She lately learned that she is heiress to the Bourneville estate, and thereupon she changed her name from Bourneville to Bourneville.
What is the difference?
$10,000 a year.
Which is a lot of money in these days. Oh, I think I might inspect those lodgings. On the Weymouth Road, you said?
Yes, sir, though you mun beware of the strange customs of these parts. Like, watcher drinking.
Watcher drinking?
Oh, that's very kind of you, sir. I'll have another pint of that.
Locating the Madding residence proved more difficult than I had first assumed, particularly as Weymouth appeared nowhere upon the map of Wessex. But then neither did Dorchester, nor had just been there. But you can be sure that by 10 o'clock I was knocking at the door of that lowly habitation.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. You must be Jess Bourneville?
Bourneville, sir.
Oh. Hello.
Conversation came easy to us. It was as if we had been marked down for one another by some strange pagan forces. Jess Bourneville, how my mere words convey the beauty of that apparition? Her hair was as gold as well-used sovereigns. Her bosom heaved like a sack of florins. Her blouse crinkled like a wallet full of big white fivers. Even the stain on the front of her dress resembled the signature on a bill of exchange. Her whole appearance, gentlemen, was as fresh and as virgin as an open ledger which is yet to be entered.
Hello.
Hello. I understand you have a room to let.
Oh, aye. I fear it is taken by another gentleman, but this last week.
Oh, but Azrael Beach told me there were good lodgings here.
There are, sir, but Azrael Beach has taken them.
Oh, well, in that case...
Oh, but we can sling him out, sir. It's only Azrael Beach.
Well, don't put yourself out.
No, no, sir. Just Azrael. Won't you come in? We like our lodgers to treat this place like their own home.
I took her at her word, and by the next day I had appropriated the seat by the fire, left my socks all over the parlour and piled the sink full of dirty plates. My first task was to visit the nearby potato field, over the barrow and left of the standing stones, to interview the good denizens of Wessex about modern agrarian techniques.
Wait, old Graver, stop the glottage, it's just numbing time.
No, Art.
Hey, me gents, the fair twanky.
Oh, sit your nanny watch.
Good morning, stout yeoman.
Art.
What manner of toil do you hear?
We be tatty-hocking, sir. Tatty-hocking?
Oh, of course. And this mechanism is the, tatty-hocker?
No, that's the potato popper.
Oh, what does it do?
Well, it hocks the tatties, of course. Here, human be that young Dan who's taken up with the Madden.
Yes, I'm on.
Oh, well, if you've got an eye on Jess, you'd best keep the other looking out for the storm.
What mean you, sir?
Oh, Granford be talking to Sergeant Storm.
Who?
Jess Bourneville's betrothed.
Betrothed? Ah.
Him's a good fine soldier who's been a putting down the Hottentots in India, see?
India, eh? So he's not actually in the country at the moment.
Not at the moment, no. Now make time over, drivers.
Art.
Ah, there you be, Dulcie. Quit your molly-horning and come back to your flock.
Ah, good day, Mr. Page. I apologise for dislodging you, as it were.
Not to worry, sir. Down, Grinder. All for the best.
I'd be living rent-free at the moment.
Oh, really? Where's that?
Well, you see that little home there by the dip in the ground?
Yes.
Well, I live in the dip.
Ah. How's the sheep farming getting on?
Oh, fair fest, fair fest. I got Grinder here trained up good and proper. Want to watch him herd some sheep?
Oh, yes, please.
Listen up now, Grinder.
Look out now, Israel!
What?
The sheep, he's driving him towards the potato cover.
Oh, Grinder! Back, back, boy, back!
Oh, dear. Looks like my fortunes have changed again.
Or mayhap you angered old Twistorn.
Twistorn? Who's Twistorn?
Yeah, you pay no heed to them, sir. 'Tis the old ways. Twistorn be the sheep spirit of these parts, and 'tis no goodly thing for Christian folk to think of.
But I'm anxious to learn every aspect of rural manners. And besides, it might become significant later on.
Eh? Oh, I can't be diddling with all that.
Yeah. I mun be off to look for another job.
Esther!
Cool, what is it, Joby Finshanks? You look fair fucking.
Oh, it's the council, sir. They've had a meeting, and they've made the mayor of Dorchester.
Mayor of Dorchester? Well, I never. Just goes to show, don't it? Supper at my place tonight, lad. Hey. It's shepherd's pie all round.
I had learned much on my first morning in Casterbridge, I mean Dorchester, of tatty-hocking, of sheep husbandry, and of Sergeant Storm, a lowering cloud on the horizon against which I'd best quickly lay into port. Everything conspired in my favour. The apple trees were expectant with blossom. The firs stood purple on the hills, and the rabbits, well... What a wonderful time of year for a secret tryst on Egdon Heath.
Phew. How much farther is this place?
Well, I'm not sure. Must be around here somewhere. Let's look at me map, eh? Here, Egdon Heath.
Well, I've never heard of it. And we've been walking for hours.
You're right. It begins to embrown itself, moment by moment.
Pardon, sir?
It's getting dark. And, well, I'm quite tired. aren't you?
Well, I...
Look! Over there! Evidence of man's former occupation.
What?
A deserted cottage. I know. Let's shelter there.
Oh, but sir, won't it be awfully rough and scrubby?
Oh, no matter. Fortunately, I have brought with me my gentleman's folding divan. Let's go and have a little lie down, shall we? Oh.
Everything went as I'd planned. Before 3 months had passed, Jess revealed that she was with child.
Oh, I say, you can. I mean, didn't you know, I take the appropriate precautions.
Of course I did. I used one of Sturdy's gentlemen requisited.
Oh, not sturdy enough from the sound of it. Oh, I mean, good Lord.
You'd be quiet.
It was the one sure way I could think of forcing her hand into marriage and my hand into a trust fund. Time passed. The girdle of the zodiac rolled onward as summer turned into autumn. The leaves began to embrown themselves moment by moment, well, you know, the sort of thing. And Azrael Beach, having lost the mayoralty to his young rival Henshard, took up dairy farming instead. It was September, and the whole community came together to thank whichever god they worshipped for the safe gathering of the harvest.
Oh,
It's such a whopper, so sharp and yet proper, and all but the copper worth it worth.
More nuts for Asriel.
No, thank ye. I'll stick to beer. And much cheer to you on your betrothal to fair Jess. No doubt you're looking forward to the happy arrival.
What? Who told you that?
I'm talking about the inheritance.
Oh, yeah, of course, the inheritance, Arthur.
It's mighty queer how suddenly the scales of fortune may be tipped.
Oh, yes, sir. Sorry to hear about the brucellosis and the fire in your cattle store.
Not to worry. I never held much with cows anyway. And besides, I've just won a flock of sheep in a raffle.
Ah, oh, well done, mate. How'd you find sheep farming this store?
It's much harder with this withered arm, sir. And it's the devil's own job to hold a crook and whistle with me fingers at the same time. But I've got a new dog, and the sheep are very fertile. It looks as if I'll make my fortune after all.
Andrew! Andrew Beach!
Joby Finshanks. Well, you look fair squinty.
Ah, you sheep have all strayed into the clover patch, and have all blown up like bladders.
Oh, dear.
Our old Twister and Marty Jones, to be sure.
Twister!
Ah, the sheep spirit again. This is becoming significant.
Oh, but come on, Master Thomas. There's work to be done.
Good Lord, what's happened?
It's the clovers, sir. It don't agree with their stomachs. Does make them swell up like footy balls.
Ooh, how can we save them?
Well, you mun take this here tummy spike and prick them through to let the gases out.
And what will you be doing while I'm doing that?
Looking the other way, sir. Hurry up, sir, or they'll die.
Very well, right. One, two, three. One, two, three. And another. Well, this seems...
Stop, sir!
What?
Them's taking off!
Oh, my God! Good grief, that was close.
Look out, sir! It's coming back!
That's never happened before. We watched the last of Beach's flock sail like muddied clouds over her horizon, notched and pocked with ditches and barrows. Then, as my eyes dropped across the close grazed down, I beheld a tiny red speck, which grew and grew like nothing so much as a spot of blood in a green shirt. As it drew closer, I discerned gold buttons, a pillbox hat, and a pair of cherry pickers, the uniform of the Wessex Fusiliers. The storm had reached my shore.
Which one of you is Thomas Sturdy?
Well, that is...
That's him, Sergeant.
Beat you, blinning stun, pal. Ha, 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 well, you're obviously Sergeant Storm. How do you do? Now, you've probably been hearing a lot of idle village gossip about me and a certain young lady.
I have.
Well, I have to say, it's not true at all. But if it is, I've done everything properly, and the baby she might be having, I'm not saying she is, mind, but if she is, has a baby, it's got nothing to do with me. Nothing, all right, you know, our country folk talk.
Yes, sir, we talk the truth.
Look, I'm sure we can settle this dark, gentlemen.
Of course, sir. No need for any unpleasantness.
Oh, good. I'll be quite happy to settle for an appropriate payoff.
Very well. Pistols at dawn. Maiden Castle.
You mid hang on to that tummy spike if you like.
Is this your second then, Sturdy?
Well, it's about the seventh, actually, but nobody else wanted to do it.
Well, with everything you've done for me, sir, the lodging, nice sheep and all, I wouldn't miss this for the world.
This is my second, Corporal Fairfax, who will now remind us of the rules of engagement.
Copyright. Her Majesty's Stationery Office.
Get on with it, Fairfax.
Rule one. Should the bullet pass clean through the trunk without taking any of the internal organs with it, it shall be deemed a let and play shall continue.
Oh, God.
Rule two. Should the bullet enter one of the nether limbs below the knee, it shall be deemed led before and play continues.
I thought I'd be on that.
Roll three.
Oh, stop.
Take her away.
Now, you come along with me, my dear. Now, come on. You don't want to be mixed up in any of this.
Roll three. Should either the legs be detached from the body during the course of a duel, a surgeon shall be called to decide whether the combatant be fit to continue. Now, lads, I want a good, clean fight. No swearing, spitting, or low tackles. Choose your weapons.
I don't know. It's poor for choice, really.
You have used one of these before, Sturdy.
Of course, I'll have this one.
Are you sure?
Quite sure.
You're holding it by the barrel.
Oh, yes, I am.
Look, that's the handle, that's the safety catch, and that's the trigger. And now we stand back to back. Take 10 paces.
Hold on.
Yes.
Did you say this was the safety catch?
No, that's the trigger.
Sergeant Storm. Oh, my.
Is that it, Dick?
On the contrary, this is murder.
As I sat in my cell, I mused on how man's fortunes may rise and fall without the least warning. Witness Azrael Beach and his many pet of a tile and the Wheel of Fortune. I was confident that something would turn up, and was not at all disheartened when I was found guilty.
Ah, Padre, I didn't expect to see you here.
Does this mean that the Church has intervened on my behalf?
In nomine Patris, Filii et Spiritus Sancti.
Follow me, Mr. Sturdy.
With pleasure, Jailer. Well done, Padre.
It was not until a couple of moments later that I stood in the trap door with a noose around my neck in Dorchester Market Square that I realised my prospects were looking slightly uncertain.
Come on, Hangman, do your stuff.
Get on with it.
All right. It's not 8 yet.
Oh, not 8.
Well, the sooner I'm replaced by a machine, the better.
Got to move the times, Hangman.
Oh, yes, love, and your time's 8 o'clock.
Hurry up.
Oh, well, can't stand around nattering all day. Mind the gap.
It is a far, far better thing that I do now.
Nice one, Hangman.
I don't know the blind
ship. It's me, the sheep spirit. Twist on! He sent us a sign!
He's angry with us!
It's a sign! Cut him down! Cut him down!
All right! Keep your hair on!
Master Thomas!
Master Thomas, wake up!
Can you hear me? Master Thomas!
Please.
Yes, Master Thomas. How's your neck?
Oh, as well as can be expected.
But I'm alive! It's funny how your fortunes change when you least expect it.
Yes. And now I have my life. And must marry you. Yes.
Oh.
And claim my 10,000 a year. You know, Beach, if your sheep hadn't strayed into that clover, I'd be a dead man.
Yeah? And if you hadn't had that duel, I'd still be a bachelor.
Yeah, but we'll talk about that. What?
Yes, sir. The moment we heard the verdict, Azrael and me got married.
That's right, sir.
What?
Funny how your fortunes changed just when you least expect it.
Azrael beats you, dirty, stinking bat!
So, gentlemen, that is my tale.
And it is a worthy one. How strange the twists and turns of fate.
Yes, especially since my 4 elder brothers were killed in a railway accident and I inherited the family business.
And now you may add membership of the Mausoleum Club to your achievements.
Yes. Oh, thank you.
But this is absurd. What could qualify this parvenu and not a man of breeding such as I?
Oh, dear, you still haven't guessed, Mr. Green, the nature of our
our second condition of membership.
Oh, well, why, it is to be able to lie, and to lie at great length.
Wrong, Mr. Green. Think what it is that may unite high-born and low.
That may unite man and woman.
That may unite Sikh and Christian.
What deed have all our storytellers been party to?
Think. Yes,
Mr. Green. We are a club of murderers.
Oh, murder? What?
And as the most wretched of damned souls, we must seek solace in each other's company. Until it is our time to be called.
And, Mr. Green, it is your time to be called.
What do you mean?
Come now, since your insatiable curiosity has forced us to reveal the secret of our club.
Which you are, however, unfitted to join.
We could hardly let you carry our confidences into a frowning and disapproving world.
No! No, wait!
Miss Primrose, bolt the door.
No! No, I'm a gentleman. I promise I won't breathe a word.
Nor shall you. Dr. Sen, Superintendent Chalker, hold him down.
Oh, don't touch me there, please.
Mr. Sturdy, his mouth.
Oh, no, my mouth.
Now, Dr. Bates, the needle.
Relax, Mr. Green. You won't feel a thing.
Jess of the Bourneville's, the final episode of Tales from the Mausoleum Club, was written by Ian Brown and James Hendry and starred Timothy Spall, Rosalind Ayres, Nicholas Clay, Oliver Cotton, Royce Mills, Jonathan Kidd, Michael Ripper, Michael Fenton Stevens, and Nick Revel. Music was by Max Harris. The producer was Paul Spencer.
Felch.
Yes, sir.
Bring us some cognac and cigars.
Very good, sir. Will there be anything else, sir?
No, I don't think so. Oh, yes. We shall be needing the trunk.
I understand.